Well, you know, when I was deciding what I was going to preach on back a year ago, September, I wanted to preach on what these four candles represent. And so, of course, I jumped on the internet and I Googled it, right? And I found one I really liked, the Advent readings for Sunday, right? And so I went with that. And then as I started to do my actual preparation, I found out not only should I read that a little closer, but I had them in the wrong rotation. So we're going to have peace today, and we should have had it 2 weeks ago. But that's okay. That kind of works with everything else that I've noticed this morning that didn't quite go off as planned. And maybe that's why peace is such a great idea. You know, we can look at our bulletin this morning, and I'll guarantee you it is not March. Okay? But I don't worry about that, because that's God working in our midst, right? We should have peace. Now, I have to tell you, I am just slightly sweating this morning because I feel sorry for you guys because you all decided that most of you are going to sit in the last three rows and you're almost on your laps. But, you know, sardines like that, so I'm going to okay that. But, you know, I was under some pressure today. Somebody texted me yesterday and says he's coming just to hear me blow it out of the water. Well, I hate to tell you this, but the pageantry's over. The great things are already done. We've listened to the trumpet. We've listened to some great music. We listened to a great solo, and now you're going to listen to me. But we're going to talk about peace this morning, and we like peace. Peace is different than a lot of things. But you know, when I read that and it says peace on earth, that really bothers me. What does that really mean? And where should we put that little comma at? Should it be peace on earth, or should it be peace on earth? It makes a difference how we say things. It makes a difference how we interpret things. So this morning, I would just like to leave you with a few hundred verses. Okay, I'm wrong. There's only 88 in the New Testament that have peace in them. Okay, 84 of them happens to be in the letters Paul wrote. And it's not just peace. It says there's peace throughout the Bible. It's one of the most used words throughout the Bible. It's probably one of the most used words in our English language because most of us think about peace, we think about lack of war, right? We don't think about a feeling of oneness with God. We don't really think about understanding ourselves in Christ, do we? And so as we think about that today, I think we want to stop and maybe shelf some of those ideas of peace. And we'll look at what the Bible tells us about peace. And I think I've only got like 14 or 15 there in the bulletin, so we'll just cover most of them. In Galatians 1:3, it says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." From God the Father. Where does this peace come from? We think it's a lack of war, right? No. Peace is from God. It's something given to us. It's something that allows us to deal with life in such a way that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's like joy and love and all those kind of things. Peace is something that God gives us that we might actually help us live with those around us. Now, I'll tell you that in our day and age, in our culture, peace is probably one of the most elusive things in our lives. Because somebody's always causing us to have no peace, right? It can be anything from your loving little dog to the neighbor next door messing with your peace. I've noticed that as we have a new puppy in the house, I get less sleep at night because that dog needs out every once in a while, if he needs out or not, right? You can put it in that kennel and think, yeah, this is a great idea. Hey, I can sleep all night. I don't have to worry about it. Wrong. There's two things that are going to happen. One, he's going to whine to go outside. The other one is you're going to hand him something to play with, and his tail's going to slap the side all night long, right? And that's just the way it works. Peace is gone. But is that the real peace that we're looking for? Is that the kind of peace that God gives us? I don't think so. I think God expects more. I think we should expect more. Because everything God gives us is perfect in every way. Galatians 5:22 through 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So it's given to us. We don't have to worry about it. God made sure that each and every one of us, when we decided to follow Him, would have a full measure of peace. Maybe not. I don't think that we got a full measure. I don't think that we can look at it that way. I think we really need to stop and realize that peace, like everything else that God gives us, not only needs to be used, but it needs to be exercised. You know, it's like these big muscles we have. I have this table muscle. I exercise it as much as possible. You might have big arms, you know, but we didn't get those by not using them. We didn't get those by not having them to work on a regular basis. 1 Peter 3:10 and 11 says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." Now, if I read that correctly, and I think I did, that means we have something to do. We didn't just say one day that we want to follow Jesus and we're going to be a Christ follower, and at that point we get full peace, full love, full joy, full everything. No. Because why would we still have to work at it? Why would we still have to watch our tongue? Why would we still have to learn to be around other people? Because we need to grow. Each and every one of us need to grow. Christ did not come to this earth, as it tells us in Luke 2, 6 through 8 to 20, about angels and shepherds and peace on earth. If we could have it like that. But we need it like that, don't we? We need something like that. We at least need something that's growable. Something that can be nurtured. Something that God can only God can give us and help it grow. And peace is one of those things. So if you don't really have the peace in your life that you really wish you had, then it might be a good time to stop and understand where it comes from. Understand that God gave it to you. I'm going to give you another idea. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, the thing there I want you to stop and think about is in Christ Jesus. Because real peace, real love, real joy, those things that the Spirit gives us are only going to be there if we live in Jesus. They're only going to come to fullness. They're only going to blossom in our lives when we live a life that's in Jesus. I mean, Paul thinks this is pretty important, right along with peace. This is like 88 some odd times, and Paul writes it 84, right? Okay, so in peace, or in Jesus, is important. If we want something to grow in our hearts, I'm going to tell you, if we aren't working at it, if we don't actually spend time in a relationship with God, it's not going to grow. I'm not saying you're not going to go to heaven. I'm just going to say that you're not ever going to be that person that's going to bring somebody else to Christ. If you don't learn what you have and exercise it enough that people around you realize that you are a Christian, you'll never bring anybody to Christ. And trust me, if you never bring anyone to Christ, you've missed the boat. You've missed complete joy. You missed the one thing God has offered you, and that is fulfillment through peace. Because trust me, there's a lot of people out there that have great lives and they work pretty hard at having everything they need, right? And we have jobs and we all have too much money in America. I've come to that conclusion. My wife and I, we disagree on this thing. We not only need more money, but maybe we would like to buy some other things, right? But as Americans, we generally can do that. We can all have what we really want if we put our mind to it. And you got a good banker. But it's one of those things that if we're really going to have peace in our soul, if we're really going to have peace right here where it actually belongs, the peace that the angels sang about, we're going to have to be in Christ every day. Not on Sunday morning, maybe on Wednesday evening. And the rest of the week, we're just going to be, it's not going to work that way. If we aren't in Christ every day, 24/7, real peace will elude us. Oh, we'll do okay. We'll have a certain amount. But the Bible tells us that if you love me, you'll obey me, right? And He asked us to work at it. He asked us to make sure that our peace grows within us. And so as we think about Christmas this year, and we wake up, and I can tell you, some of you have this problem. You wake up on Christmas morning, and there's a mad dash to that green thing with all the bulbs on it. And there's packages and bows and paper and what have you strung all over your living room. Some of us may not have as much peace as we'd really like. While we enjoy that, we may not actually have the peace and contentment in our heart that Christmas really ought to bring. because maybe we don't allow God in often enough. Because it's going to be, there's an awful lot of kids here. I can't believe the beauty of all these children. I'm awed. There's nothing better than kids in church. I'm not even a children's church guy. I want them in church, okay? But on Christmas morning, they're going to cause chaos. And the smaller they are, the more chaos you have, because not every box is as big as the next box, and who cares what's in them as long as we got a good box, right? You know, that's really what Christmas is all about, tearing stuff up. So when we get up on Christmas morning, let's stop and take time. My mom used to make us do this. She just drove us nuts as kids. We would have to sit there and listen to her read every Christmas story in the Bible, and then she would tell us another little story about this gift in this box. Okay, and it would take like 35 or 40 minutes for her to go through this. But you know what? I understand what Christmas is all about. It's something that I never ever took for granted, because my mom made sure I knew on Christmas morning. We opened nothing till Christmas morning, and we opened nothing till mom was done. And so let's give the real gift of Christmas. Let's stop and give the gift of Christ for Christmas. And then let's tear open those packages. Let's rip off those bows and enjoy our day. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the day to come. We thank you for Christmas and what all it brings. We thank you for friends and family and fellowship, and we just thank you for allowing us this time together. But most of all, Lord, we ask that your mighty hand be upon us, that you walk with us, that you guide us, that you help us to grow in peace. Help us to have the kind of peace that you offered us on that hill close to Bethlehem when you spoke through your angels to the shepherds watching their flocks, that there would be peace on earth. And so we ask, Lord, now that you walk with us, guide us, and direct us. Help us to feel you in our hearts and minds. Open our souls to you, that we might all be in Christ every day. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.